Okay, so today we're going to continue with God's people, and we're going to get from individuals like Abraham to a family. But before we get there, I just wanted to kind of review this timeline. You notice all this timeline is before the cross, and I ran out of room because there's a couple of more things I should put in there. But for now, we've gone through Adam and Eve, and we know that under innocence they failed. We know that with conscience, first Cain failed, and then the whole world failed. And under Noah, God brought in the flood. And even after that, within a short period of time, people were trying to find their own way to heaven again. They were trying to go Cain's way, not giving God credit, but taking credit to themselves. And so we see where God chose a man named Abram. He eventually changed his name to Abraham, and he had a son named Isaac, who had a son named Jacob, whose name was changed to Israel. And at the family of Israel ended up going into Egypt, and in Egypt they became a nation. These are things we're still going to see. And then, of course, after they became a nation, or as they became a nation, they were slaves. They were enslaved in Egypt. And so Moses was appointed to bring them out and to give them the law. So all this period of time back here is before the law. And then in come the Ten Commandments and all the other statutes and judgments. And after Moses, the Israelites, the nation, has a period where they're guided by judges. And then they got tired of the judges. They wanted to have kings like all the other nations had. So they begged for kings, and they ended up having kings, which, as the Lord told them when he gave them kings, were taxed them, used them in the military, all the things that kings do. During this whole period of time, there were prophets. Even before then, there were prophets. So, and we've still got a little more to go, but we haven't even gotten to all of this yet. So I just kind of wanted to lay that out there. But backing back up to where we've got Abram, who had a son named Isaac, who had a son named Jacob. Jacob's history is most amazing. He started out as a sneak, or as his name means, a supplanter. He was the second son, but he wanted to take the blessing from the first one. And so he went from a sneak and a supplanter to the godly father of 12 sons who became the 12 tribes of the nation of Israel. So you follow me on that? When I think of Jacob, and we're not going to cover his whole history here, but I think of a man who proves that God will use somebody who has belief, even when he doesn't behave himself very well. Because Jacob ended up getting the blessing, and he ended up in the line to Christ, even though he was the second son. He wasn't the first son. But let's go to Genesis chapter 32, verse 24. And it says, "And Jacob was left alone, and there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day." Whoops. Something's happening here. Thank you. "And when he saw that he prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh, and the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint, and he wrestled with him. And he said, 'Let me go, for the day breaketh.' And he said," that's Jacob, "'I will not let thee go, except thou bless me.' And he said unto him, 'What is thy name?' And he said, 'Jacob.' And he said, 'Thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel,'" which means a prince of God. So he went from a sneak and a supplanter and a deceiver, that's what his first name meant, to a prince of God. "For as a prince hast thou power with God and with men, and hast prevailed." So again, this didn't happen because of his behavior, but because of his belief. From the beginning, he connived. And he was a sneak so that he could get God's blessings. Isn't that amazing? But let's go to, we're going to come back here, but let's go for a minute up to Isaiah chapter 9. I know this is not on your notes. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 8. Mm-hmm. where the prophet Isaiah says, "The Lord sent a word into Jacob, and it hath lighted upon Israel." So the way I interpret that is that when Jacob, when he really received God's word and believed it, he became Israel, the father of the nation of Israel, that you might say. And, well, let's back up and read starting at verse 6, because I think we need to also look at some of the prophecy that starts back here, where it says, "For unto us a child is born." Now, this is 700 years before Jesus Christ was born, over 700 years. "Unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end. Upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it, to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this." So what's being prophesied here? Yeah, and the Lord and how he's going to be born, right? A child is born, unto us a son is given. Let's back up for just a minute to chapter 7, Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14. Isaiah did a lot of prophesying about the Lord, prophesying. "Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and he shall call his name Emmanuel." So what's happening here is that these exact prophecies are being given that were fulfilled when Jesus Christ came, and yet the Jews refuse to believe. So they have no excuse. Let's see. And then back for just a minute, though, to Jacob. He did suffer greatly as a consequence of his past behavior. And his favorite son, remember he had 12 sons and they became the 12 tribes of the nation of Israel. His favorite son was Joseph. Let's go to Genesis chapter 37. What verse were you going to ask, Karen? The whole chapter. Chapter 37. "And Jacob dwelt in the land wherein his father was a stranger, in the land of Canaan. These are the generations of Jacob. Joseph, being 17 years old, was feeding the flock with his brethren, and the lad was with the sons of Bilhah and with the sons of Zilpah, his father's wives. And Joseph brought unto his father their evil report." In other words, he told on them. "Now Israel loved Joseph more than all his children when he was the son of his old age, and he made him a coat of many colors. And when his brethren saw that their father loved him more than all his brethren, they hated him and could not speak peaceably unto him. And Joseph dreamed a dream, and he told it his brethren, and they hated him yet the more." Why would they hate him for just telling them his dream? "And he said unto them, Hear, I pray you, this dream which I have dreamed. For behold, we were binding sheaves in the field, and lo, my sheaf arose, and also stood upright. And behold, your sheaves stood round about, and made obeisance to my sheaf. And his brethren said to him, Shall thou indeed reign over us? Or shalt thou indeed have dominion over us? And they hated him yet the more for his dreams and for his words. And he dreamed yet another dream, and he told it to his brethren. And he said, Behold, I have dreamed a dream more. Let me get you madder at me. And behold, the sun and the moon and the 11 stars made obeisance to me. And he told it to his father and to his brethren. And his father rebuked him and said unto him, What is this dream that thou hast dreamed? Shall I and their mother and thy brethren indeed come to bow down ourselves to thee, to the earth? And his brethren envied him, but his father observed the saying. And his brethren went to feed their father's flock in Shechem. And Israel said unto Joseph, Do not thy brethren feed the flock in Shechem? Come, and I will send thee unto them. And he said to him, Here am I. And he said, Go, I pray thee, see whether it be well with thy brethren and well with the flocks, and bring me word again. So he sent him out of the vale of Hebron, and he came to Shechem. So in other words, Israel, or Jacob himself, is sending Joseph out to bring him a report of what the brothers are doing. And a certain man found him, and behold, he was wandering in the field, and the man asked him, saying, What seekest thou? And he said, I seek my brethren. Tell me, I pray thee, where they feed their flocks. And the man said, "They," which tells me, by the way, that Joseph must not have been doing a lot of the heavy work in those days either. You know, he doesn't even know where they feed the flocks. And the man said, They are departed hence, for I heard them say, Let us go to Dothan. And Joseph went after his brethren and found them in Dothan. And when they saw him afar off, even before he came near unto them, they conspired against him to slay him. And they said one to another, Behold, this dreamer cometh. Come now, therefore, and let us slay him, and cast him into some pit, and we will say, Some evil beast hath devoured him, and we shall see what will become of his dreams. Now bear in mind, these are the godly people on earth at this time. The son of Israel, who's Jacob, who's the son of Isaac, who's the son of Abraham. This is the godly people. From here, it's worse. And Reuben heard it, and he delivered him out of their hands, and said, Let us not kill him. And Reuben said unto them, Shed no blood, but cast him into this pit that is in the wilderness, and lay no hand upon him, that he might rid him out of their hands to deliver them to his father again. So at least Reuben is trying to save him. And it came to pass, when Joseph was come unto his brethren, that they stripped Joseph out of his coat of many colors that was on him. And they took him and cast him into a pit, and the pit was empty, there was no water in it. And they sat down to eat bread, and they lifted up their eyes and looked, and behold, a company of Ishmaelites came from Gilead with their camels, bearing spicery and balm and myrrh, going to carry it down to Egypt. And Judah, that's the oldest, said unto his brethren, What profit is it if we slay our brother and conceal his blood? Come, let us sell him to the Ishmaelites, and let not our hand be upon him, for he is our brother and our flesh, and his brethren were content. So who did those Ishmaelites descend from, do you think?
Ishmael.
Ishmael, that's right, Ishmael. So they sold him to the enemy, you might say. Then there passed by Midianite merchant men, and they drew and lifted up Joseph out of the pit, and sold Joseph to the Ishmaelites for 20 pieces of silver, and they brought Joseph into Egypt. And this, because of these things that you see, many people account this as sort of a shadow or a type of what happened with our Lord. Here he's being sold for 20 pieces of silver. And Reuben returned unto the pit, and behold, Joseph was not in the pit, and he rent his clothes. He still had intended to save him. And he returned unto his brethren and said, The child is not, and I, whither shall I go? And they took Joseph's coat and killed a kid of the goats and dipped the coat in the blood. And they sent the coat of many colors, and they brought it to their father and said, This have we found. Know now whether it be thy son's coat or no. And he knew it, and said, It is my son's coat. An evil beast hath devoured him. Joseph is without doubt rent in pieces. And Jacob rent his clothes, and put sackcloth upon his loins, and mourned for his son many days. And all his sons and all his daughters rose up to comfort him, but he refused to be comforted, and he said, For I will go down into the grave unto my son mourning. Thus his father wept for him. And the Midianites sold him into Egypt unto Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh's and captain of the guard. And of course, we're going to jump from here to chapter 39 to continue the story. But to me, one of the most wonderful parts of this story about what happened to Joseph is what God does with what man does. You know, man does what he wants, and this was an evil thing that man did, and yet God's going to use it. So in chapter 39, verse 1, it says, "And Joseph was brought down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, bought him of the hands of the Ishmaelites, which had brought him down thither. And the Lord was with Joseph, and he was a prosperous man, and he was in the house of his master the Egyptian. And his master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hands. And Joseph found grace in his sight, and he served him, and he made him overseer over his house, and all that he had he put into his hand." And of course, that just makes sense. In this case, this captain actually gave credit to Joseph's God, that's why things were going so well that were under Joseph. But it's just human wisdom to take somebody that's being very productive for you and give him more responsibility and more things to do. We did that with Tom Madison, remember, that came to work for us. And he was a salesman that could sell anybody anytime. And so he found himself getting more leads because that was in the interest of the people he worked for. "And it came to pass from the time that he had made him overseer in his house and over all that he had, that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. And the blessing of the Lord was upon all that he had in the house and in the field. And he left all that he had in Joseph's hand, and he knew not aught he had, save the bread which he did eat. And Joseph was a goodly person and well favored. And it came to pass after these things that his master's wife cast her eyes upon Joseph, and she said, Lie with me." So temptation has come. "But he refused and said unto his master's wife, Behold, my master wotteth not what is with me in the house, and he hath committed all that he hath to my hand. There is none greater in this house than I, neither hath he kept back anything from me but thee, because thou art his wife. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? And it came to pass, as she spake to Joseph day by day, that he hearkened not unto her to lie by her or to be with her. And it came to pass about this time that Joseph went into the house to do his business, and there was none of the men of the house there within." That makes me think of the vice president that said he wouldn't go out with another woman unless his wife was there too. I guess that was Joseph's big mistake. He didn't walk in there with another man to help him out. He was alone with that woman. And verse 12, "She caught him by his garment, saying, Lie with me. And he left his garment in her hand and fled and got him out. And it came to pass, when she saw that he had left his garment in her hand and was fled forth, that she called unto the men of her house and spake unto them, saying, See, he hath brought in a Hebrew unto us to mock us, and he came in unto me to lie with me, and I cried with a loud voice. And it came to pass, when he heard that I lifted up my voice and cried, that he left his garment with me and fled and got him out. And she laid up his garment by her until his Lord came home. And she spake unto him according to these words, saying, The Hebrew servant which thou hast brought unto us came in unto me to mock me. And it came to pass, as I lifted up my voice and cried, that he left his garment with me and fled out. And it came to pass, when his master heard the words of his wife, which she spake unto him, saying, After this manner did thy servant to me, that his wrath was kindled. And Joseph's master took him and put him into the prison, a place where the king's prisoners were bound, and he was there in prison." So here's Joseph. He gets sold as a slave. Then he's the head, second in command of Potiphar's house, and now he's in prison. Now, when this happens to us, we're not too happy. We're not close enough to the Lord in many ways to say, well, I know the Lord has a purpose here. I'll just wait and see what he has. "But the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. And the keeper of the prison committed to Joseph's hand all the prisoners that were in the prison. And so whatsoever they did there, he was the doer of it. The keeper of the prison looked not to anything that was under his hand, because the Lord was with him, and that which he did, the Lord made it to prosper." So again, God is really favoring Joseph, and whatever he does, wherever he goes, real quickly people realize that there's favor with him, whether they believe in God or not, and so they give him more responsibility. "And it came to pass after these things that the butler of the king of Egypt and his baker had offended their lord, the king of Egypt. And Pharaoh was wroth against two of his officers, against the chief of the butlers and against the chief of the bakers. And he put them in ward in the house of the captain of the guard into the prison, the place where Joseph was bound. And the captain of the guard charged Joseph with them. And he served them, and they continued a season in ward. And they dreamed a dream, both of them, each man his dream in one night. Each man according to the interpretation of his dream, the butler and the baker of the king of Egypt, which were bound in the prison. And Joseph came in unto them in the morning and looked upon them, and behold, they were sad. And he asked Pharaoh's officers that were with him in the ward of his lord's house, saying, "Wherefore look ye so sadly today?" And they said unto him, "We have dreamed a dream, and there is no interpreter of it." And Joseph said unto them, "Do not interpretations belong to God? Tell me them, I pray you." And the chief butler told his dream to Joseph, and he said to him, "In my dream, behold, a vine was before me. And in the vine were three branches. And it was as though it budded, and her blossoms shot forth, and the clusters thereof brought forth ripe grapes. And Pharaoh's cup was in my hand, and I took the grapes, and I pressed them into Pharaoh's cup, and I gave the cup into Pharaoh's hand." And Joseph said unto him, "This is the interpretation of it. The three branches are 3 days. Yet within 3 days shall Pharaoh lift up thine head and restore thee unto thy place. And thou shalt deliver Pharaoh's cup into his hand after the former manner when thou wast his butler." But now Joseph wants him to remember him. "But think on me when it shall be well with thee, and show kindness, I pray thee, unto me, and make mention of me unto Pharaoh, and bring me out of this house. For indeed I was stolen away out of the land of the Hebrews, and here also have I done nothing that they should put me into the dungeon." When the chief baker saw that the interpretation was good, he said unto Joseph, I also was in my dream, and behold, I had three white baskets on my head." He wants to hear the good news too. "And in the uppermost basket there was all manner of baked meats for Pharaoh, and the birds did eat them out of the basket upon my head. And Joseph answered and said, "This is the interpretation thereof. The three baskets are 3 days. Yet within 3 days shall Pharaoh lift up thy head from off thee, and shall hang thee on a tree, and the birds shall eat thy flesh from off thee." So one other thing that's really neat about when God is involved, that's a definite interpretation with a definite time period, and it's soon. You know, there's no, I think that lady was named Jean Dixon or something that would say, "Well, next year you're going to have a pretty good year." "And it came to pass the 3rd day, which was Pharaoh's birthday, that he made a feast unto all his servants, and he lifted up the head of the chief butler and of the chief baker among his servants. And he restored the chief butler unto his butlership again, and he gave the cup into Pharaoh's hand. But he hanged the chief baker, as Joseph had interpreted to them. Yet did not the chief butler remember Joseph, but forgot him." He was back with Pharaoh. He forgot all about Joseph. He didn't remember to tell about him. Whew. And chapter 41. "And it came to pass at the end of 2 full years that Pharaoh dreamed, and behold, he stood by the river. And behold, there came up out of the river 7 well-favored kine and flat-fetched, and they fed in a meadow. And behold, 7 other kine came up after them out of the river, ill-favored and lean-fleshed, and stood by the other kine upon the brink of the river." I think that's like cattle, right? Anybody agree with me? "And the ill-favored and lean-fleshed kine did eat up the 7 well-favored and fat kine, so Pharaoh awoke. And he slept and dreamed the 2nd time. And behold, 7 ears of corn came up upon 1 stalk, rank and good. And behold, 7 thin ears and blasted with the east wind sprung up after them. And the 7 thin ears devoured the 7 rank and full ears. And Pharaoh awoke, and behold, it was a dream. And it came to pass in the morning that his spirit was troubled. And he sent and called for all the magicians of Egypt and all the wise men thereof, and Pharaoh told them his dream. But there was none that could interpret them unto Pharaoh. So one thing I want to say about this is there must have been a lot of fake magicians in Egypt that would give Pharaoh certain interpretations that he had to believe or not believe, right? And in this case, he didn't like them. Then spake the chief butler unto Pharaoh, saying, I do remember my faults this day. Pharaoh was wroth with his servants and put me in ward and the captain of the guard's house, both me and the chief baker. And we dreamed a dream in one night, I and he. We dreamed each man according to the interpretation of the dream. And there was there with us a young man, a Hebrew, servant to the captain of the guard. And we told him, and he interpreted to us our dreams. To each man, according to his dream, he did interpret. And it came to pass, as he interpreted to us, so it was. Me he restored unto mine office, and him he hanged. Then Pharaoh sent and called Joseph, and they brought him hastily out of the dungeon. And he shaved himself, and changed his raiment, and came in unto Pharaoh. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, I have dreamed a dream, and there is none that can interpret it. And I have heard say of thee that thou canst understand a dream to interpret it. And Joseph answered Pharaoh, saying, It is not in me. God shall give Pharaoh an answer of peace. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, In my dream, behold, I stood upon the bank of the river. And I'm going to go ahead and skip down to where he tells him the same thing and get down to verse 25. And Joseph said unto Pharaoh, The dream of Pharaoh is one. God has showed Pharaoh what he is about to do. The seven good kine are 7 years, and the seven good ears are 7 years. The dream is one. And the seven thin and ill-favored kine that came up after them are 7 years. And the seven empty ears blasted with the east wind shall be 7 years of famine. This is the thing which I have spoken unto Pharaoh. What God is about to do, he showeth unto Pharaoh. Behold, there come 7 years of great plenty throughout all the land of Egypt. And there shall rise after them 7 years of famine, and all the plenty shall be forgotten in the land of Egypt, and the famine shall consume the land. And the plenty shall not be known in the land by reason of that famine following, for it shall be very grievous. And for that dream was doubled unto Pharaoh twice, it is because the thing is established by God, and God will shortly bring it to pass. Now, therefore, let Pharaoh look out a man discreet and wise, and set him over the land of Egypt. Let Pharaoh do this, and let him appoint officers over the land, and take up the fifth part of the land of Egypt in the seven plenteous years, and let them gather all the food of those good years that come, and lay up corn under the hand of Pharaoh, and let them keep food in the cities. And that food shall be for store to the land against the 7 years of famine, which shall be in the land of Egypt, that the land perish not through the famine. And the thing was good in the eyes of Pharaoh and the eyes of all his servants. And Pharaoh said unto his servants, Can we find such a one as this, a man in whom the Spirit of God is? And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, For as much as God has showed thee all this, there is none so discreet and wise as thou art. Thou shalt be over my house, and according to thy word shall all my people be ruled. Only in the throne will I be greater than thou. So immediately is appointed up to second in command in Egypt. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, See, I have set thee over all the land of Egypt. And Pharaoh took off his ring from his hand and put it upon Joseph's hand, and arrayed him in vestures of fine linen, and put a gold chain about his neck. And he made him to ride in the second chariot which he had, and they cried before him, Bow the knee, and he made him ruler over all the land of Egypt. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, I am Pharaoh, and without thee shall no man lift up his hand or foot in all the land of Egypt. And Pharaoh called Joseph's name Saphnath-Paneah, and he gave him to wife Asenath, the daughter of Potipherah, priest of On. And Joseph went out over all the land of Egypt. And Joseph was 30 years old when he stood before Pharaoh, king of Egypt. And Joseph went out from the presence of Pharaoh and went throughout the land of Egypt. And in the seven plenteous years, the earth brought forth by handfuls. And he gathered up all the food of the 7 years which were in the land of Egypt, and laid up the food in the cities, and the food of the field, which was round about every city, laid he up in the same. And Joseph gathered corn as the sand of the sea, very much, until he left numbering, for it was without number. And unto Joseph were born two sons before the years of famine came, which Asenath, the daughter of that other person, the priest of On, bare unto him. And Joseph called the name of the firstborn Manasseh, for God, said he, hath made me forget all my toil and all my father's house. And the name of the second called he Ephraim, for God hath caused me to be fruitful in the land of my affliction. And the 7 years of plenteousness that was in the land of Egypt were ended. And the 7 years of dearth began to come, according as Joseph had said. And the dearth was in all the lands, but in all the land of Egypt there was bread. And when all the land of Egypt was famished, the people cried to Pharaoh for bread. And Pharaoh said unto all the Egyptians, Go unto Joseph. What he saith to you, do. And the famine was over all the face of the earth. And Joseph opened all the storehouses and sold unto the Egyptians, and the famine waxed sore in the land of Egypt. And all countries came into Egypt to Joseph for to buy corn, because the famine was so sore in all lands. Whew, let's see where I am now. Okay, so again, what's going on here is Joseph is in charge, and now he has all the food that anybody could possibly need. So what is God doing? What's his plan? And that's what we go on to. Chapter 42, verse 1 to 8. Now when Jacob saw that there was corn in Egypt, Jacob said unto his sons, Why do ye look upon one another? And he said, Behold, I have heard that there is corn in Egypt. Get you down thither and buy for us from thence, that we may live and not die. And Joseph's 10 brethren went down to buy corn in Egypt. But Benjamin, Joseph's brother, Jacob sent not with his brethren, for he said, Lest peradventure mischief befall him. And the sons of Israel came to buy corn among those that came, for the famine was in the land of Canaan. And Joseph was the governor over the land, and he it was that sold to all the people of the land. And Joseph's brethren came and bowed down themselves before him with their faces to the earth. Isn't that interesting? Just like he had dreamed so long ago. And Joseph saw his brethren, and he knew them, but he made himself strange unto them, and spake roughly unto them. And he said unto them, Whence come ye? And they said, From the land of Canaan to buy food. And Joseph knew his brethren, but they knew him not. So, again, it was his prophecy that they would all bow down to him. That's why they wanted to kill him. But now they're bowing down to him. They don't know who he is yet, but they're bowing down to him. Let's jump for just a second. We're going to go on to chapter 46. But before then, let's go to Philippians chapter 2. Because God's way really is to raise up the humble and to humble the raised up. Philippians chapter 2, verse 5, where the Apostle Paul tells us, he says, Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. So where I see the likeness is that, of course, the Lord was down here, and just like in the case of Joseph, they were jealous of him, they didn't like him, and they threw him in the pit and eventually sold him. And in the case of the Lord, they didn't like him, they were jealous of him, and they crucified him. But in either case, wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name. That's our Lord, right? In the case of Joseph, he exalted him up to second in command in Egypt. That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. And that should comfort us, especially when we're oppressed or persecuted by people that hate our faith, is that they're all going to be bowing before Jesus Christ before it's all over, whether they believe or not. Yes.
They didn't recognize them the first time they saw them, but they will recognize them the second time.
Very good point. Just like Joseph, right? Because they're going to recognize Joseph in a little while. So let's go back there. That's to Genesis. Let's see, chapter 46.
Interesting how some of these old biblical names like Joseph, Jacob, stuck around all these years, but don't hear much of Beersheba.
Yes. Maybe it's because we aren't very good at pronouncing them. Genesis chapter 46, verse 1. And Israel took his journey with all that he had and came to Beersheba and offered sacrifices unto the God of his father Isaac. And God spake unto Israel in the visions of the night and said, Jacob, Jacob. And he said, Here am I. And he said, I am God, the God of thy father. Fear not to go down into Egypt, for I will there make of thee a great nation. Because see, until now they're just a family. I will go down with thee into Egypt, and I will also surely bring thee up again, and Joseph shall put his hand upon thine eyes. Now, what does Jacob know about Joseph? He thinks he's dead and gone. So in this reassurance, he tells him he will take them in, he will bring them out, and Joseph shall put his hand upon thy eyes, as you will die, and it's Joseph that will put his hand upon the eyes. So it was a reassurance that he's alive. And then let's go to all the way to verse 27. And the sons of Joseph, which were born in Egypt, were two souls. All the souls of the house of Jacob, which came into Egypt, were 70, or 70. And that counts Joseph and his sons. And he sent Judah before him unto Joseph to direct his face unto Goshen. And they came into the land of Goshen. So to stop right there, Goshen was some of the finest land in Egypt. That's what was given to the Jews or the Israelites that were brought in. So they were given the very best. And then let's go 47, verses 5 and 6. And Pharaoh spake unto Joseph, saying, Thy father and thy brethren are come unto thee. The land of Egypt is before thee. In the best of the land make thy father and brethren to dwell. In the land of Goshen let them dwell. And if thou knowest any men of activity among them, then make them rulers over my cattle. So they were brought in, and because of Joseph, they were given the best of the land, the best of the situation. And then let's go all the way to chapter 50, verse 22. Where it says, And Joseph dwell in Egypt, he and his father's house, and Joseph lived 110 years. And Joseph saw Ephraim's children of the third generation. The children also of Machir, the son of Manasseh, were brought up upon Joseph's knees. And Joseph said unto his brethren, I die, and God will surely visit you and bring you out of this land into the land which he sware to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. And Joseph took an oath of the children of Israel, saying, God will surely visit you, and he shall carry you up, ye shall carry up my bones from hence. So Joseph died, being 110 years old, and they embalmed him, and he was put in a coffin in Egypt. Let me see, what did I skip? I wanted to look at, I wanted to look at when Jacob was going to die, and that the brothers were scared. Who can help me find that? I didn't make a note of it. When Jacob was going to die and his brothers were scared. Joseph's brothers or Jacob's sons. Yeah, let's see.
Oh, Jacob's sons.
Remember? Jacob was about to die.
No.
I'm
thinking about somebody else.
My Bible's got Jacob's burial instructions over chapter 49, verse 29. And then at 33, this is the death of Jacob. And that's verse 33.
I'm talking when Jacob's about to die and his sons thought that the only reason that Joseph had been nice to them was because of Jacob.
And they were afraid.
And I don't know why I haven't been able to easily find that. But unless somebody comes up with it, we will skip that. But that is that. Just a point I wanted to make is that they were scared to death that Joseph was going to get even with them because they tried to kill him and certainly sold him.
It's the last chapter of Genesis, starting in verse 15.
Yeah, thank you. That's chapter 50, verse 15. And when Joseph's brethren saw that their father was dead, they said, "Joseph will peradventure hate us and will certainly requite us all the evil which we did unto him." And they sent a messenger unto Joseph, saying, "Thy father did command before he died, saying, So shall ye say unto Joseph, Forgive, I pray thee now, the trespass of thy brethren and their sin, for they did unto thee evil, and now, we pray thee, forgive the trespass of the servants of the God of thy father." And Joseph wept when they spake unto him. So again, they don't trust God or Joseph. All they trusted was that Jacob would protect them, and now he's gone. So they're trying to tell Joseph, "Hey, our father said, be nice to us." Mm-hmm. And verse 18, "And his brethren also went and fell down before his face, and they said, Behold, we be thy servants. And Joseph said unto them, Fear not, for am I in the place of God?" See, this is something they just didn't have a concept of. "But as for you, ye thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good, to bring it to pass, as it is this day, to save much people alive. Now therefore fear ye not, I will nourish you and your little ones." And he comforted them and spake kindly unto them. If we could just have that kind of faith when we're going through tough times at all, is that, all things work for the good to those who love the Lord, who are called according to His purpose. So, let's see. Now, these people, I got to 50, 20, okay. Chapter 50, verse 22, where he said, "Joseph dwelt in Egypt, he and his father's house, and Joseph lived 110 years. Verse 24 especially I wanted to cover again. "And Joseph said unto his brethren, I die, and God will surely visit you and bring you out of this land unto the land which he swore to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob." And I guess the thing that occurred to me at that time is, why would they want to leave? Because after all, they've got it made, right? They got the best land in Egypt. They're favored in every way. Why would they want to leave? Let's go to Exodus chapter 1, verse 7. "And the children of Israel were fruitful and increased abundantly and multiplied and waxed exceeding mighty, and the land was filled with them. Now there arose up a new king over Egypt, which knew not Joseph." Now that's a dun-ta-ta-dun type statement, So the good times are over. This is a new king that didn't honor Joseph, didn't realize what he'd done for them. He didn't know him. "And he said unto his people, Behold, the people of the children of Israel are more and mightier than we. Come on, let us deal wisely with them, lest they multiply, and it come to pass that when there falleth out any war, they join also unto our enemies and fight against us, and so get them up out of the land. Therefore they did set over them taskmasters to afflict them with their burdens, and they built for Pharaoh treasure cities, Pithom and Ramses. So in other words, what we know, especially going forward, is they enslaved them. They took them from being favored people in the land, and they enslaved them. But the more they afflicted them, the more they multiplied and grew. They didn't have TV. And they were grieved because of the children of Israel. And the Egyptians made the children of Israel to serve with rigor. And they made their lives bitter with hard bondage in mortar and in brick and in all manner of service in the field. All their service wherein they made them serve was with rigor. And the king of Egypt spake to the Hebrew midwives, of which the name of the one was Shiphrah and the name of the other Puah. And he said, when ye do the office of a midwife to the Hebrew women and see them upon the stools, if it be a son, then ye shall kill him, and if it be a daughter, then she shall live. Now, isn't that something? Because that's exactly what happened with King Herod at the time of Christ, is that he killed the children in hopes that he would kill the future king that he was afraid of, that might become the future king. So this started out to be happening way back here. And this is what our country is doing today, not for the same reasons, but we are killing 1 million babies a year. 1 million babies a year. But the midwives feared God and did not as the king of Egypt commanded them, but saved the men children alive. And the king of Egypt called for the midwives and said unto them, why have ye done this thing and have saved the men children alive? And the midwives said unto Pharaoh, because the Hebrew women are not as the Egyptian women, for they are lively and are delivered in the ear of the midwives come in unto them. That little boy popped out before I got there to kill him. Therefore God dealt well with the midwives, and the people multiplied and waxed very mighty. And it came to pass, because the midwives feared God, that he made them houses. And Pharaoh charged all his people, saying, every son that is born ye shall cast into the river, and every daughter ye shall save alive. And I guess we got time to go ahead and read a little bit of chapter 2, because that's going to start our next part. But, and there went a man of the house of Levi, and took to wife a daughter of Levi, and the woman conceived and bare a son. And when she saw him, that he was a goodly child, she hid him 3 months. And when she could no longer hide him, she took for him an ark of bulrushes, and daubed it with slime and with pitch, and put the child therein, and she laid it in the flags by the river's brink. And his sister stood afar off, to wit what would be done to him. So his older sister is watching. And the daughter of Pharaoh came down to wash herself at the river, and her maidens walked along by the river's side, and when she saw the ark among the flags, she sent her maid to fetch it. And when she had opened it, she saw the child. And behold, the babe wept, and she had compassion on him, and said, this is one of the Hebrew children. Then said his sister to Pharaoh's daughter, shall I go and call to thee a nurse of the Hebrew women, that she may nurse the child for thee? And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, go. And the maid went and called who? The child's mother. And of course, Pharaoh's daughter doesn't know this. And Pharaoh's daughter said unto her, take this child away and nurse it for me, and I will give thee wages. And the woman took the child and nursed it. And I've heard say, I can't prove it, that she might have had that child for several years before she turned it back over to Pharaoh's daughter. And the child grew, and she brought him unto Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son, and she called his name Moses, and she says, because I drew him out of the water. Whew. And that will be next week. We'll pick up at Moses. Where's Moses? Way up here somewhere in Egypt.
Verse, teach a child the way he should go.